The first thing that Hussein Ralib Esfandiari tells me about himself is that he has years of experience captaining a boat across the Persian Gulf. The second thing he tells me is that his job almost killed him.
He's
saying 4 years ago his boat drowned. Four guys died, and he was in the water for 30 hours.
Hussein is 33, but looks at least 10 years older. The sinking is in my face now, he says. It's with me every day. Hussein's father, grandfather, uncles, they all did this work. They taught him how to navigate a rickety dhow with a compass and a watch. But Hussein doesn't like to think of himself as a boatman. He says he's a trader who buys things in one place and sells them in another. He takes me to Dubai's main market, a riot of languages and people in every conceivable national dress. Hussein says customs officials here don't care if he takes American goods to Iran. The Iranians don't care either.
USA? America?
Lately, though, he's looking for stuff that looks American, but was made somewhere else.
That's China.
Chinese goods he can buy for much less money. The next day, his four crew members load the boat with Chinese-made dishes, blankets, clothes, and shoes, and a handful of American cell phones.
Amin.
Hussein steps behind the wooden steering wheel and radios his cousin out at sea. The weather's been bad for days, and he's waiting for it to clear before he sails. Hussein says before his old boat sank, he didn't used to worry about the weather. The accident happened around 2 in the morning. He'd been sailing for 2 days and had almost made it to Iran. Then a storm blew in. The boat hit an underwater pipe. Hussein radioed for help, but the boat was already sinking. He and a crew member named Hassan tied themselves to wooden pallets and floated through the night.
Around 10 a.m., helicopter comes, and he screams out for the helicopter, and nothing. They don't see them because there's water everywhere. And his friend, Hassan, started getting cold and started getting scared.
Hassan
held on for a few hours, but then died in Hussein's arms. Hussein steered himself toward a buoy, climbed on top of it, and waited there another whole night before the rescue boats came. Now, he says a prayer before every trip. Hussein's been waiting in port for about a week. On this day, the weather's finally clear. He tells the crew it's time to sail. The interpreter, Tamara, and I want to sail with Hussein from Dubai to Iran. But that's not such an easy thing to do. First of all, we don't work in the shipping business, so we're not allowed to leave Dubai on a cargo boat. Second, even if we had visas to enter Iran, there's no way we could do that by boat either. So Tamara comes up with a plan. She asks a friend to take us out of the Dubai Creek in his speedboat.
Okay, so we're in our boat. Hussein has just cleared customs.
Our boat follows Hussein's boat out of the creek.
Beautiful clear day. Got boats going to Pakistan, Kuwait, Somalia, Oman.
Once we reach open water, we pull up to Hussein's boat and climb in. Our plan is to ride with him for an hour or so, then wish him a safe trip and jump into the speedboat and head back to Dubai. Hussein tells us he stayed up until 3 a.m. the night before, drinking tea and worrying that something bad might happen. Right about then, we realize we're being surrounded by two official-looking boats.
So, you know, we've just been stopped by police, and they think they're trying to take us to Iran or something. Everything's fine, I think.
But it's not fine. At first, we think they'll only take Tamara and me and let Hussein keep sailing.
Bye.
But then they order him back, too.
They want them to go back in as well.
No.
That night, Tamara, her friend, and I are interrogated by Dubai intelligence agents. We're told these are sensitive times between Iran and the U.S. We're released around midnight. Hussein and his crew remain in custody. Days go by before we reach him again.
Hello?
Hussein!
Hello!
I tell Hussein I'm sorry for causing him so much trouble and delaying his trip. Then he tells me he's grateful. That's because a huge storm came in that night. 15 boats sank. Hussein says the delay actually saved his life. He was able to anchor up and wait out the storm before sailing on to Iran. I couldn't get a visa to see Hussein there, so I asked an Iranian reporter to go to Ghanaway, Hussein's hometown in southwestern Iran. The reporter met Hussein at this scrappy open-air market. Hussein says he's found buyers for all his cargo. Now he's collecting the money that's owed him. In all, he'll net about $3,000 for 2 months of work. That's just enough to make payments on his new boat and support his sister and mother. The women live in a two-room rental with no furniture. Hussein's mother sleeps under the stairs. She's blind and nearly deaf. Every night I go and touch his bed, she says. If he's not there, I can't sleep. She says the sinking of Hussein's boat 4 years ago devastated the family. Back then, Hussein was engaged to a local girl, but she broke it off after the accident because he no longer had a way to support her. Now, Hussein has a new fiancé. He told me about her after we first met. The new fiancé's one condition is that Hussein stop working on the boat, that he open a supermarket on land instead. I want to stop, he told me. I really do. But then he keeps on going. Last time I talked to Hussein, he was in Dubai, loading the boat for another trip. Like one of his friends told me, Hussein is like a crab. He likes to get out and walk around, but he always finds his way back to the water.